Today's February 11th, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $48,302.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Happy Super Bowl Sunday, Rick.
Very happy.
Are you going to go for the team in red today?
Yes. Yes and yes.
Yes and yes.
Yes. And until I see Taylor Swift, and then I'm turning it off.
I figured that was going to be when you're going to tie your shirt into a half shirt and start fangirling. That's what I'm going to do.
Haunts
that's
me.
That's totally what I'm doing. I'm going to put my hair in pigtails even. How I'm going to do that, I don't know, because I ain't got no hair. But, so real quick, obviously the big topic this morning, Bitcoin has broken again above the $48,000 mark. So right now, our little $3,000 hypothetical investment, man, go ahead, tell them where we're
in it. Yeah, so theoretically, if you bought Bitcoin October 27th at $3,000, you would have got 0.0885, so not even 1/10 of a Bitcoin, but that $3,000 investment would have got netted you today for $4,275.
Yeah. I mean, and that's not, you're not doing any, so here's the thing that people need to understand, right? Like, that's not doing any crazy trades. That's not trying to do any leverage work or anything like that. That's just buying and holding on to it.
Buying and holding on. Granted, it did a few fluctuations, but it never went low, at least in this, you know, 3 month span or whatever it is now.
Yeah, I don't think we ever fell below the $3,000 investment.
No.
We got close.
When Bitcoin started taking off.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, that's pretty cool, man. Like $1,275 that you would have already profited. Yeah. Just from buying and sitting on your hands.
Exactly. Now the thing we have to point out is that theoretically, we kind of saw it, and I just said, when we buy it, if you bought it right now, you're going to see probably good gains, because in the cycle, things were starting to pick up steam. If you bought it on the wrong end of the cycle, you could be losing your butt on the flip side. So,
yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, so for those of you out there, I mean, if those of you that may listen to us, that maybe you did buy it 60, maybe you bought it 69,000, you know, in that range, you know, it's tough, but I think the big thing to remember is that you have got to keep your horizons on a 4-year cycle with Bitcoin. And those of you that have done that, unless you just buy at the right time, which is incredibly hard, but those of you that have had at least, you know, you've held on to it with a long-term perspective of at least 4 years, you're going to come out in profit.
Yes. At least that's how it's been every cycle previously.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Not my general advice, but yeah.
Not financial advice. But I mean, think about that. Like if you'd bought gold at that same time, where would you be? If we look at the gold chart.
A little bit.
You would be up a little bit. Let's see. Okay. So we're saying October 27th, right?
Yeah.
Price of gold. Let's see. Let me fast forward in time here. And this will be an approximation because it's hard to get right on the exact date. So $2,008.15 was the price then. Current price for gold is $2,024.16.
Okay, so you barely gained anything.
You would have gained something. Now, having said that, gold did peak out, it looks like, on December 23rd. Looks like it hit $2,149. So you did have a nice little peak there. Like, but since then, it's fallen back down to 2024. So you would have made a little bit of money, but not near what you would have made with Bitcoin right now, currently. So, and kind of, you know, kind of going into that is that currently we have got 66 days, 2 hours, and 56 minutes until the next halving. Currently, it's set for, the prediction is April 17th of this year.
Yep. And just a quick refresher on what the halving is the rewards that the miners get from mining Bitcoin will get cut in half, and it happens every 4 years.
Right. Yeah, the block subsidy, right? So right now, it's at 900 BTC per block. And it's going to get cut in half to 450 BTC per block. So, and then in another 4 years, it's going to get cut in half again, or it's going to go from 450 to 225. So, you know, and it'll continue to reduce every 4 years. But, I mean, that's pretty major. We've talked about this before with this podcast, where we've seen demand shock before, but we haven't seen supply shock and demand shock at the same time.
And with this ETF, it looks like we might be seeing that soon.
Yeah. And that's actually like a perfect segue. Good job. Right now, currently. So we've got some reports here. This is from Eric Balkunas. He's basically saying he posted this. We put it actually up in the Discord, his little chart here. But here's a look at the top 25 ETFs by asset after 1 month on the market. So that's 30 days that these ETFs have existed. And that's a total of 5,535 total launches in the past 30 years. And when you look at this chart, the BlackRock and the Fidelity ETFs, by and large, eclipse everything.
It's all-time ETFs.
Yeah, all-time ETFs. Within 30 days. And just for your awareness, like, I mean, they still have 2 days to go. They still have two more days of trading before it's their full 30 days. I don't know. I'm pretty impressed by that. Like, that tells me there's a big appetite in the market for these holdings. And I think Peter Schiff was notorious for saying, well, you're going to see that nobody has any interest in these things once they went live on the market.
Yeah. Well, I like Peter Schiff, but I think he's flat wrong about Bitcoin.
Well, I almost wonder with Peter Schiff at this point, if it's not just for attention that he says the stuff that he does.
Well, I think it's probably both and ego. I mean, he's a very smart guy. He's been a very successful investor, and he picked a side. And I think at a certain point, he's got to hold it, you know, hold true to it, come what may.
Yeah, well, and I see it, right? Like, we've talked about this before on the podcast too. Like, when your gold bugs and the Bitcoiners, we have very similar views with what's wrong with the world and the money printing, right?
Exactly.
It's just not embracing the technology that it exists and understanding what the revolution that takes place with a digital hard asset like Bitcoin.
Yeah, the ramifications of something truly hard. I mean, gold is as hard as it gets, and they can still keep mining another 1-2% per year.
Yeah.
Bitcoin, the number is set at 21 million forever. That's it.
Yep. Yeah, and it doesn't matter how much they increase that demand, the difficulty measure in Bitcoin will automate that self to where it's like, no matter what, they can increase it for a short period of time, and then it, boom, you know, that difficulty measure goes into effect and it makes it harder for them to be able to get that block subsidy. So, and it continually adjusts that algorithm, right, to make it more difficult every time. So we've never seen anything like this before, where demand, and I know we've said this before, where demand, it doesn't matter what the demand does, the supply side doesn't care.
Right.
It's going to do exactly what it wants to do. So, I don't know. We're seeing some crazy inflows into the market. And, you know, we're starting to see this reflected in the price. Grayscale, Bitcoin Trust, like one of the big reasons why we saw such a big sell down was because they were flooding the market with FTX shares that they had that were being liquidated. We still have Genesis and their shares that are being determined whether or not they can sell them, which will bring some more selling pressure onto the market. But when we looked at the chart, and we talked about this on the previous episode, Grayscale's outflows are starting to get back to kind of null, to neutral. So when they all start accumulating again, I don't know what that's going to do to price.
Speaking of that, Hans, what's about some different accumulations happening?
So we're seeing something that we've never seen before, and this is very unusual. Normally, the Bitcoin miners are the ones who basically, they're the ones who create the Bitcoin, right? They're the ones with the that are paying the hash power to get the miners basically to add the blocks to the chain. And we're seeing something that they've never done before. They're actually starting to accumulate Bitcoin. Typically, they sell their Bitcoin just to pay for their costs, right? That's their business. That's how they operate. They mine Bitcoin. They sell their Bitcoin. They can get, you know, improve their technology, pay their electric bills, all those types of things to keep the business running. And they're actually starting to accumulate. They're actually starting to purchase Bitcoin rather than just sell. And we've never seen that before.
That is so interesting.
And it was kind of funny too. My company had a global town hall conference the other day. And one of the questions that came across to our chief financial officer, our CFO, was whether or not we're going to put like a 1% to 3% allocation into Bitcoin. And they kind of were just mums the word on it. But it was kind of interesting to see that's, you know, it's happening. Like, you're starting to see that a lot more often. I think you're going to see a lot more companies start to either quietly buy and put Bitcoin onto their treasuries, or they're going to, you know, it'll end up becoming like when the speculation happens. The price goes crazy.
Well, especially when institutions start getting in there, like big financial, you know, big companies, like the ones you work for.
Yeah.
It's the demand is going to go through the roof. The supply is going down. Miners are starting to hoard their Bitcoin and buy some.
Yeah.
I mean, the really interesting thing about this to me is that the miners have a really deep understanding of the Bitcoin cycle.
Mm-hmm.
If they've been around for a while, they've been through everything. They've been through the euphoria. They've been through the crashes. They've been through everything. So they must be seeing something around the horizon where they're like, let's get it now. Because they can't even mine it fast enough to how much they want. And they just know that it's probably more profitable for them to buy it.
Yeah. Well, and so, you got to think about that from the business strategy perspective, right? If your company is basically, they mine Bitcoin to kind of keep their business going and to kind of show profits, those types of things, they have to be very in tune with the four-year cycle, like what you're talking about, because they have to be able to sell at those peaks so that way they can go through the troughs, right?
Right.
And have enough in reserve to be able to carry themselves through those you know, crypto winners.
Yes.
So what does that tell you? What are they seeing on the horizon?
That's incredible. That's all I can say. Stacking sats right now is probably the smartest thing you can do.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, I know for a lot of people, again, not financial advice, but getting to a tenth of a Bitcoin is getting more and more difficult, getting to that 0.1. But I don't know if you want to be sitting on zero necessarily.
Whatever you do, I don't think anybody should be at zero when it comes to Bitcoin.
Yeah. I think you should have some exposure.
And just getting, you know, 1 million Satoshis, which is what, 0.01 Bitcoin, just 1% of a Bitcoin is going to be $500 here soon.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it took a long time for a Satoshi, or, you know, for a Bitcoin to hit a dollar parity. It took, you know, 13 years ago, we hit $1. What if in 13 weeks, one Satoshi is worth one penny?
Wow. Well, then you'd have 100 grand worth of Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that could, and I know that number sounds crazy, right? Like, we'll never see anything do that. It's like, I don't know. You have seen, Bitcoin has done some crazy things. Like, it has run up where it's at right now. I think last time when we were at this price range at the last bull cycle, when we were at 44,000, to get to 68,000 at that time, because we didn't hit quite the peak of the 69, but to hit to that 68,000, it only took 13 days from where we're at.
Wow.
I mean, you know, and that was post-halving, right?
Yes.
This is pre-halving right now that we're looking at. So, yeah, it's hard to not be bullish. And I try and temper my bullishness because I honestly, I still would love to see a nice, I would love to see $35,000 Bitcoin right now, especially around, you know, March 15th. But I'm not holding my breath. Like, realistically, I'm like, okay, we'll have to see what happens as that plays out. I really do not want it to be 69,000 at that time. But
yeah,
not that I don't, it's my own greedy interests as to why I don't want to see it at that price. But anyways, yeah, we're getting close. There's a lot of crazy things going on. I don't know. I still suspect maybe 250,000 with this market peak, but that's assuming that we're in still within a 4-year cycle.
I have no idea where the peak's going to go. I just know it's going to be a lot more than 48,000. That's all I can say.
And you do think we'll cross over 69,000 again, yeah?
For sure.
And I that's the tough call this time. I mean, 250,000. So, and here's my reasoning behind some of this too, is that in the past we always saw like some of the big whales basically sell off at those peaks. But I have a feeling like BlackRock and Fidelity, I don't think they're going to let most of their allocations go. They understand the scarcity.
They'll kind of temper, they'll buoy that.
Yeah. The drawdowns, I think that we may see a reduction in the drawdown. And at some point we'll see a reduction in volatility altogether. But I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's 2030. I don't know when that is.
No.
But go ahead.
I was going to say, if you're going to stack some sats or, you know, get a little bit of Bitcoin, head on to the bitbytepodcast.com. And we have some deals for some Ledger wallets and Alipal wallets for cold storage. Because if it's not your keys, it's not your crypto.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. And I mean, and that's, if you really feel like you want to be in control of your coins, that's the best way to do it, cold storage. You go through your exchanges, get it, no matter how you set it up, whatever the case may be, transfer it to your wallet, you know, and then you have custody over that, you know, that financial asset. And, you know, it can't be taken from you or anything else, except through by pure force and aggression and violence, and that's only if you still allow it to happen.
Well, that's if you left it on the exchange, it can still be taken from you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Last thing I kind of wanted to bring up was, it is the Super Bowl, and we have seen in the past, crypto type ads during the Super Bowl. We're seeing an increase in advertising from BlackRock and Fidelity. I think we saw ads for Bitwise, you know, before the ETFs launched. My guess is that we're not going to see a Bitcoin ETF ad during the Super Bowl. And I've got a couple reasons why I think that. Number one, you know, Fidelity and BlackRock are just now starting to educate their advisors basically on these ETFs. I think they're just now starting to have those meetings where they're talking about this ETF and how they want to push it. Fidelity recently said that they're recommending, or they're putting a 1-3% allocation within their conservative ETF market, which I guess is like their basket of goods. So they're putting like automatically their conservative basket, they're adding 1-3% of Bitcoin within that basket currently. That's just one company that's going to do that. So I don't think we're going to see a Bitcoin ETF ad during the Super Bowl, mainly because that's typically like a peak signal,
right?
You know, that's usually when you want to, like, next year at the Super Bowl, if we're starting to see like a Bitcoin ad for an ETF, that may be where approaching the peak.
Yes. Granted, long term, I think you should hold your Bitcoin, right?
Yeah.
But if you have some set aside where you're just going to be, you know, hey, this one's kind of a legit investment where I'm going to pull out and take some profit, for sure.
Yeah. And go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think that you have a good point about the, you know, bringing education to the people who are the financial advisors. I mean, you don't want to get them swamped with people asking for Bitcoin when the financial advisors may or may not know much about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, to me, honestly, that's, if I was looking for a financial advisor, that would be one of the things I would be like, hey, so what's your thought on Bitcoin? If they tell me no, then I'd probably walk out of that financial advisor's office.
It's like, well, thanks for your time.
Yeah.
Get up and walk out.
Yeah. I honestly think that is my feeling. That is my gut feeling. So, but yeah, I don't think we'll see any Bitcoin. Now, having said that, I do think we'll see like crypto.com. They'll probably do an advertisement or something like that. But actual Bitcoin focused advertising, I don't think we'll see it yet.
Yeah.
I could either be wrong. Way. We'll see.
Either way, I'll enjoy the commercials, hopefully. Just the camaraderie.
Yeah. No, it'll be a good time. And we do hope everybody, like, if football's not your thing, it's a good reason to break away from the charts, to break away from the price, and spend some time with, you know, family and friends, hopefully. It's like a mini holiday in the United States.
So,
but yeah, also newsletter. So if you are getting that hardware wallet, you really are on this road to self-sovereignty. You want to hold your assets yourself. We also have, when you sign up for our newsletter, we also give you a link to download our hardware wallet checklist. Which, I mean, for those of you that have never done that before, it's kind of a terrifying experience. I know it was scary the first time I've done it. How did you feel the first time you did this?
I was pretty scared, but, you know, I had you with me.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as bad. When I went back and did some more later, I was like, oh my gosh, this is nerve-wracking.
It is. I mean, because you make one mistake, like that money is gone.
Yeah. Don't want to send it to the wrong address.
Absolutely. And just, I think it's a little bit of a handhold. So it's almost like having us there with you when you do it.
Absolutely.
And
but are something like a pre-checklist.
Yeah.
Things to think about before you even start opening up your wallet.
Yeah. And of course, you want to pay attention to your manufacturer's details with your hardware wallet, because they are a little bit different each time. For the most part, they're all the same. They function the same way. But just pay attention to your manufacturer's basically their instructions, and then kind of use ours kind of as a guide, a roadmap, if you will, for it. So anything else you wanted to bring up?
No, just sign up for our newsletter. Even if you don't want the checklist, we're going to be following crypto and just talking about, you know, Bitcoin and crypto in general. And we're not going to be spamming you with sales and all this stuff. We're just going to talk about what's happening in the markets.
Absolutely.
Things going.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, if you just do decide that you want to go that with that hardware wallet route, obviously, if you go through our links, we do get a little bit of support from it, but you're buying directly from the manufacturer. It just helps us out, help us bring you this content that we're developing here. And of course, you can always see that information at www.thebitbytepodcast.com. And right there, you can do the sign up, you can get the deals page, and you can actually get the Elipal and the ledger if you wanted to. So, kind of exciting day. We'll see where this kind of brings, and hopefully we'll get you another episode a little bit later this week.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you all for listening.